morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 as we continue our journey. And this morning, as we again look, last week we looked at giving, and we're going to look at this be like giving part 2 as we get into 9. But encourage you to follow along with me. Again, Bibles are in front of you in that pew. Encourage you to get your own Bible or have a Bible. Again, if you do not have one, we will put one in your hands today if you ask. We'll get you a Bible. But I encourage you to go along with this. But I'm in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Let's read it through here together. "For it is superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I have sent the brethren in order that our boasting about you may not be made empty in this case, so that, as I was saying, you may be prepared. Otherwise, if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to speak of you, will be put to shame by this confidence. So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift, so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which though through us is producing thanksgiving to God, for the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgiving to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." Well, last week, we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we learned, why we should give. And we learned that giving, really, it's a privilege, and it's a privilege, not a burden. And it's not out of a sense of duty, but rather we give out of a love for our Lord. And that it's the Lord that we give, and that part of the maturing process of a Christian is giving. And that although that we don't have a command to give, it should really be a result of our love for God. And so this week, we're going to talk about the how of giving. What character should our giving take, and what are the results of giving? This letter that we have that's written to the Corinthians, Paul is writing this. He's writing it from Macedonia, and he starts out by telling the Corinthians here that he shouldn't really even have to write to them about the gift that they were preparing, but somehow it got neglected. And it's true that giving should be a natural part of the Christian, the natural part of really that redeemed soul. But as Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, says, "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth. When it is present with you, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of a reminder." Sometimes we need to be reminder, even now and then I'll say something to somebody. I'll say, well, you already know this, but I will just say it again. For it is superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints, Paul writes. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. You know, at the beginning of chapter 8, Paul goes on and on about how generous really the Macedonians have been, and now he turns the tables a little bit. He ratchets it up just a little bit. He says, you know, like, I've already told them about how generous you are, and what's happened is it's got them to give. You know, you get the feeling here that Paul, he really wants these gifts to happen. And he's not raising money here for a new building. Paul's not raising money for some new ministry. What he's doing is he's raising money so it will go directly to the impoverished Christians that are there in Jerusalem. You know, geographically, when you look at things here, you got Paul's writing a letter. He's writing it from Macedonia to Corinth, which is just about 460 miles away. To raise money to send to a group of people in Jerusalem that are 800 miles away. You know, and again, it's kind of different than the way we do things. And Paul doesn't let his words really work alone here. There needs to be action that's accompanying the words. And basically what he's saying, he says, you know, I'm going to let you put your money where your mouth is. In verse 3. But I have sent the brethren in order that our boasting about you may not be made empty in this case, so that, as I was saying, you may be prepared. Otherwise, if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to speak of you, will be put to shame by this confidence. So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift, so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift, not affected by covetousness. You know, paraphrased here, you know, I don't want to pry it out of your hands. You know, and he uses two interesting words here. He uses the word bountiful. In some translations, maybe you've got one that says generous. And he uses the word covetousness. Now, covetousness, it's that idea that you desire something that someone else has. Or it's to hold on to something. You know, and Paul may have been concerned that the Corinthians were big on talk, but they're short on action when it came to following through with their gift. And this is important really for us as well. You know, do you follow through on your promises? Are you a man or a woman of your word? Or do you make promises to do certain things so you can look good and then you back out when it comes time to put it into action? And I'm not talking just about money here. Do you promise to pray for someone and then forget to do it? Did you say you'd help someone and just conveniently not show up? You know, I guess, well, the Lord didn't really need me to do that. You know, the principle that we see here that's at work is if you say you're going to do something, follow through with it. Because the Lord's watching, and He's counting. You know, let's look at the next verse here in verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You know, Paul, what he does here is he compares two types of farming. You know, one farmer sows a few seeds and he reaps a small harvest. Another farmer, he sows a lot of seeds and he reaps a large harvest. You know, the farms back in the Midwest, if you were to go back in the Midwest where Debbie and I are originally from, you'll notice they'll farm right up to the ditch. Some farms, they'll farm right up to the road. You know, and in fact, you'll go along and you'll see where they've planted and they're like dodging the telephone poles as they go down the field just to get around them. They're trying to put as much seed into as much ground as they possibly get so they can get a big harvest because it's big. To sow just a few seeds would seem so ridiculous to a farmer. And the principle here is of sowing and reaping. We find it all throughout Scripture. And it's just talking about doing things for the Lord doesn't get you a harvest. But if you generously sow your life into the lives of others, well, God will reward you generously in that. Well, the question then raises, well, what kind of reward? You know, and I think that's where many Christians have gotten themselves into trouble. And we're going to look at that here in just a moment. And so now you might be thinking here that, well, gee whiz, Dave, now I've got all this stuff that I've got to do. You know, all these promises that I made, and I'm under the gun to get them all done. Well, the point from the word is, don't promise anything that you're not willing to cheerfully be a cheerful at heart at it. So let's look at the next verse here in verse 7. Each one must do just as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful, if you were to look that word up in the Greek, and I encourage you to do so at some point in time, because it's interesting. That word cheerful is the word hilarious. You know, I've given my last dollar to the Lord. Isn't that hilarious? You know, the point really is that we should take great joy in being able to give to the Lord. You know, if we give out of our finances, if we give out of our time, if we give out of our expertise, and then we say, well, okay, God, I guess you can have it. If that's our attitude in our giving, you know, God doesn't want our charity. But if that's our attitude, maybe we don't realize how it pleased God who gave of his son for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 21, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So what do we get when we give cheerfully? Well, let's read on. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered the broad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. You know, those verses, they're full of good stuff. We have there the word abound there in verse 8. It means a superabundance of, more than you need. You know, we give to God and he pours it out on us. But what does he pour out? Well, we learn his grace. Having all sufficiency in everything, for all circumstances, in all times, having all that we need. And the idea here is contentment. You know, which, by the way, is the opposite of being covetousness. You know, when we let go and God gives, but what does he give? You know, he gives what we need to be content and to do the things that he's asked us to do. You may have an abundance for every good deed, it tells us there. You know, God doesn't make you rich with money unless he wants you to do something with that money to further his kingdom. You know, God doesn't fill you with possessions unless through those possessions he can get the glory. You know, the Christian, I'd say the church sometimes often falls short of finishing that particular verse. God's character, it's one that's always giving out. It's never taking in just to have more. Verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. You know, the more you give, the more you will have to give. You know, the less you give, the less you will have to give. And I love what Paul says here is the outcome of that giving. You see there, it's a harvest. And it's a harvest not of material things, but it's a harvest of what? Righteousness. You know, the more we are obedient to the Lord in giving, the more like Him we become, and in that we become less like the world. And isn't that great? You know, how does that happen? Well, I think it's because the more that we realize that, you know what, it's not about us. You know, we're not the center of the universe, contrary to popular opinion. And the more that we let God work through us, the more we realize that the character of God is a character, and it's a character of selfless love. And more than that, take a look at the next verse here. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing through many thanksgiving to God because of the proof given by this ministry. They will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. Did you know that generosity is worship? You know, it's not just a gift that's given to God, but generosity towards others. And Paul's saying here that people, they're going to praise God for two things. They're going to praise for the gift itself, and they're going to praise for your obedience. You know, our money and our time, both of those things, they're commodities. And they're two commodities that we never seem to have enough of. And when you think about it, you can spend all your money and then turn around and probably earn it or sell something and get money back. But the thing about time is, and the thought about this week is that, you know what? Time is one of those commodities that once it's spent, it's gone. We can't get it back. You know, both of those things, time, and I'll say money, they're precious to us. We hold on to them for dear life, don't we? And it's a wonderful thing to be used by the Lord to help someone else with our money, our finances. It's a wonderful thing to help somebody with our time. It's a wonderful thing to help somebody with our expertise in that. You get blessed just by seeing what God has done in someone else. And we need to note here also that it's obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel. You know, it's that reminder that Jesus wants His people to be givers. You know, Luke 6:38, give, and I think I said this one last Sunday, give and it will be given to you. They'll pour it into your lap, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, for by your standard of measure it will be measured to you in return. James 2:16 and 17, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet do not give them what is necessary for their body. What is it? What use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. You know, works, deeds, they come as a natural result of one belonging to Jesus, of confessing of the gospel, that good news. Do we earn righteousness through generosity? No. But what we do is we spread God's love and the gospel of Jesus. You know, have you ever done something for another person and they didn't ask you to do anything, you just wanted to do it for them? And maybe they even responded to say, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that for me? Well, because God loves you and He cares about you. Because He does. You know, and we can talk until we are blue in the face about the need for salvation, but often it's when we give in a selfless act of love that people see, you know what, there really is something about this Jesus thing. You know, it's that old saying that, you know, people don't care what you know until they know that you care type of thing. John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And again, love, that action word. You know, there's a couple of other benefits to giving. In verse 14, while they also by prayer on your behalf yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. And the first benefit we see here is prayer. You know, when you connect with someone by giving, what you do is you prompt thanksgiving to God and prayer to God for you. You know, would you agree with me and say we all need prayer, right? We all do. You know, there's people in this church, they pray for me. I think most of the time my response is this: don't ever stop. Keep doing it. We all need it. And this is a good way to get it. Secondly, and my NASB here uses the term yearn for you. The King James, long for you. Maybe you've got an NIV. It says their hearts will go out to you. There's this connection that's being made between the giver and the receiver that takes place. You know, maybe you're one of the volunteers that volunteers over at the snack shack during the week. Yeah, you're engaging with students over there. You're asking them questions. You're listening to them as they describe their day. And I'll just share just a moment here. This past week, the question I had on the board was about David and Goliath. I said, who threw a small stone and what did David use to knock out Goliath? Well, they didn't really know the answer to the question. But the next question I asked was, are you familiar with the story? Now, here's the kicker, and I'm not exaggerating. I could probably count on one hand the amount of students that said that they were familiar with the story out of, 70, 80 kids. You know, that really shouldn't be the case, but it is we do live in a post-Christian nation of kids that are unfamiliar with the Bible. And so we have an opportunity. I don't have to go to a third world country to share God's word with somebody in a mission field. We're living one. We got one right across the street. It's a mission field. And maybe you're over there helping these kids in that. And you're over there answering questions for them. You're building a relationship. Or maybe you're helping out on Awana on a Wednesday with kids. And again, not all of the ones that come to Awana are kids that are in a church on a Sunday that they come there. And maybe you're going to help a neighbor or that type of thing, a person that has a particular need, and you have the resources financially, you have the time, you have the expertise to help. You know, you don't ask anything in return, you just want to help them. You know, a connection is made. There's bonds that are brought together in this way, and they're brought together in a special way, and it's in a godly way. And I love how Paul finishes this chapter. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You know, what happens is it all comes back to him. And the gift of Jesus is what made it all possible. 1 John 4:19. We love, why? Because he first loved us. You know, and you give, and when you give, you are an extension of God's love in that. You know, the more mature you are, the more you want to give to others. And the more you see that truly it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And the more you realize that, you know what, it's all tied up in the gift that God has given to us. And that gift is Jesus Christ. Because without him, we would have nothing to give. And we really would be utterly hopeless. So the next time that you have an opportunity to give, think about these things as we went through them. Give enthusiastically. Don't give half-heartedly. Give fully everything God asks you to give, and not grudgingly. Give hilariously, you know, which means you give bountifully. Give graciously and receive grace. Give generously and be made rich spiritually. Give worshipfully so others may thank God. Give obediently so that the gospel may reach others. And give thankfully, realizing that it comes from Jesus and all glory goes to Him. To God be the glory in that. Father, we do give You the praise. We thank You for Your word. I, again, thank You that we do live in a country where we can gather together and we can look at Your word without persecution. And so I thank You for this country that we live in. Father, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know You, Lord, I pray that You would just receive them to Yourself, that they would surrender to You, Lord, knowing that You gave up Your life for them. As we move in this time of communion, Lord, to recognize it, that You died on a cross for them. You took the penalty for their sin. You are the covering for their sin. And so, Father, I pray that they would surrender to You and put their trust in You for all eternity. And, Lord, we want to give You that praise and glory. Thank You for how You've blessed us, and You've blessed us with finances and with time and with different people with expertise and talents. Lord, that we can share it with others. And Father, we give You that praise that You've given us that and that ability. May we use it for Your glory and Your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.